Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark Spears, the man, the myth, the legend. We do love talking basketball with Mark Spears. And he joins us from Milwaukee, where he is covering the NBA tonight. But he just sat down with Andre Iguodala, who's going to be back here tonight. It's always a good time to say hello to our friend Mark Spears here on 95.7 The Game with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Mark, how you doing, pal?
Hey, football's over. Y'all remember me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And thankfully, the Warriors did something, so there was a reason to talk to you beyond a 12-win basketball team. We got to just jump right in.
There's that, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. There is. You know we love you. You know we love the undefeated. But we have not fallen really in love with this basketball season until maybe now. Because there are there's so many moving parts to the Golden State Warriors. There's so much unknown that I almost don't even know where to begin. Let's start here, Mark. What do you think of Andrew Wiggins?
I think he got out of jail, and he's free. And he played like he was free the other day. And you made a good point. There's definitely reason to question whether or not he loves the game. And we remember, and we're going to go back and raise there, Joe Barry Carroll was a guy that was super talented in the 80s, but didn't love the game. You know, I'm hoping, and I don't think that Andrew Wiggins will be that. His first game was outstanding, 24, 5 steals, 3 three-pointers, and he listened to Steve Kerr. He ran the floor. And I think he realizes if he just runs, he's going to get easy buckets in transition. He's going to get open threes. And just think how much easier it's going to be for him once the splash comes back. But to me, like, he's not replacing Durant because nobody replaces Durant. But I think he replaces the role that Harrison Barnes once served for the Warriors.
How many games do you want to see before you make up your mind about him? Because his situation is weirder than most trade acquisitions in that the team he comes to is different than the one it's going to be in a month, and it's different than the one it's going to be in 4 months, and on and on. He's got to make not one adjustment, but several.
But it's a good problem. So I'm optimistic for him. I mean, like, Minnesota was going nowhere. It's cold. It's just miserable. They hadn't won in forever. And, you know, even with the Warriors' struggles right now, I remember we're talking to Willie Cauley-Stein about it. He's like, I know we're not playing well, but I know what's to come. And just playing in a championship franchise is just different. Playing in a city like, you know, playing in the Bay Area is different. And he just felt like every day when he went to work, it was a different level, a higher level. And I think Wiggins is probably going to be excited about that. Like, how many coaches has he had? How many teammates has he had? He's had a change in ownership. He's had a coach die. It's been a revolving door. Obviously, some heartache involved. And he definitely needs a change of scenery. But I understand, Ray, like, there's a big sample size. He has the rest of the regular season. But if he can't get excited to play with the Warriors' big three, then – he might as well hang it up, and I think he'll be excited.
So I'm with you, Mark. I think he'll be excited. I am optimistic about how this could work, but I'm also curious. Let's, for the sake of argument, say these last 29 games go absolutely disastrously and the Warriors feel like they want to move on this summer. Does Andrew Wiggins have any tradeability whatsoever?
He does, but I wouldn't do it. I mean, Russell just wasn't a fit. We knew that. This kid is a fit, and he's long, and he's athletic, and he's relatively young. This team has to get younger. So he to me, fits in a lot of ways. There is tradability for him, if that's a word, but we'll make it a word. But I don't trade him. I see what happens next summer. I mean, next fall, next season. Then you add the first round pick, and you add that $17.5 million trade exception you have. And don't they have another $7 million trade exception?
I believe
they have a mid level exception.
Yep.
I mean, there's an ability to make this team pound for pound, not just Wiggins, but pound for pound, much better in this offseason, build them back into a championship team. And he averaged 20 in a bad situation. What is he going to do in Golden State? And the pressure's not on him. He just has to be a great complementary piece. So for him to be the third option offensively, a guy that was averaging 20 a game and did what he did in his first game, I think it's a great opportunity for him.
Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Andre Iguodala's great opportunity to return to the NBA on a team that he decides is decent enough to play for. Ironically, it begins here tonight at Chase Center, a building that I think he envisioned starting. When this building opened, I had a feeling he thought he'd be on the roster that helped open it. Yeah. He got businessed out of here. What do you think of tonight being the night that he returns? I mean, kind of ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, and thought maybe his first game next season could have been in a Warrior uniform. You know, I talked to him at St. Mary's last week after he signed. He was working out there at their junior gym there with his son, and he's ecstatic. And I think the thing that's amazing for him is typically stars are the only ones that can make power business moves like that. Not a guy that's 36, not a guy that's a role player, not a guy toward the end of his career. What he did was great from a business standpoint, was brilliant from a business standpoint. He got paid. He got to go to Miami, championship caliber situation. He got to go get a tan. And, I mean, it worked all great. And it was funny to me that these Memphis kids were talking stuff all of a sudden when they just started winning. Why weren't they saying something at the beginning of the season? But I think in the end, John Morant and the other guys will probably apologize to Iguodala when they realize what he did. When you see Andre Drummond get traded to Cleveland, like, it's a reminder that this is a business. And Andre Iguodala gave these guys, like, an amazing blueprint that he had to have a lot of guts to do. I don't know if any other guy like him can do it, but to me, what he did was one of the most interesting sports business moves, power plays a player has ever made.
The second half of his career and what he's been able to do and get away with and change his reputation, it has been staggering.
Yeah, no, he's and he's going to stay in the Bay. He'll still be in Oakland. I wonder how many people, if someone could call in, did you ever see him on your commute? He was working at this company, tech company in San Francisco, like 8 to 5 every day. And he told me if he didn't have some little injury, he had nagging injury, he would have taken the BART to work. He's ready for post-career, and he's making a ton of money here. So he's not going to leave here. I think his family is going to move with him next year, but I think his home base will forever be in the Bay, and obviously he'll get a big standing ovation tonight, and I think the players at large throughout the league will give him a big standing ovation too.
I presume that you talked to him earlier in the year. Did he think at any point that the move he made could go badly for him, that he'd end up either getting traded to a bad team and having to choose between playing for a bad team or just not playing at all, or that Memphis would basically try to just be stubborn and make him stay, even if it meant he didn't play at all?
You know, he had an interesting quote where he told me, he said, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be on a team September 1st, December 1st, February 1st, or like July 1st. He didn't know. He knew he was rolling the dice, but he was still getting paid, and he wasn't broke. Like, this is a man who's not only managed his money, but made a lot more money. So what they say, scare money, don't make money, you know? He's handled his business. And so financially could make that gamble where perhaps other guys would have been scared of being blackballed or, you know, but, you know, Dre's reputation as a player was good too. As a person, as, you know, Steve Kerr saying this is the smartest player I ever coached. So it wasn't like he had a bad reputation or he was a bad guy. I mean, this is a champion with one of the most brilliant basketball minds of all players that I've been around. So I think maybe, Ray, his situation was mutually exclusive to him. I don't know if you could name many guys in terms of a player like him who have the guts or the ability to make the move that he made.
So speaking of the move that he made, I mean, I think that what makes it really an incredible coup is the extension. Do you know exactly how that went down? Was that as simple as, okay, I guess I'll go, because I know he wanted to stay in California. So was it, I guess I'll go to Miami if you give me 15 to 30 million more reasons to do so?
I think you got it. I mean, he told me he really thought and deliberated on it. But at this point in his career, like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
How much time did you have to think about that? Go get a mojito and sign the deal, you know? I don't think he deliberated on it much at all. But to your point, I think if Miami wanted to keep him, because the Warriors had the ability with all these exceptions that they had the ability to bring him back. And I think Miami knew it. So in order to make sure that didn't happen, they had to take care of him. And, you know, there's an option on the second year. But for him to get that $15 million bump next year for sure, that's I understand. And going to Miami, you could be certainly in worse places than going to Miami. I think he mentioned something about playing golf with Ray Allen in the near future too. So I think he's okay.
There's a tee time for Andre at a lot of courses every weekend. He just picks wherever he'll be, and he gets on. We've got Mark Spears here with us, who we assumed was going to be on here in person, but he's not in the Bay tonight. He's actually in Milwaukee, where he went to cover the Bucks game. I don't know who they're playing tonight.
Sacramento.
But if you went to go see Mark, Sacramento, congratulations. If you went to go see Giannis, I guess you're not going to see him tonight. He's out having a baby.
Yeah, no, Giannis Jr. was born, so I'm guessing he's not going to be Superman and come to this. And if he does show up, the Bucks should make him go home. I was actually here for a thing about social justice that the Kings and the Bucks have. This is their second year doing this program. The Kings did it last year, and I hosted a panel with the Bucks owner this morning. And so I'm here. I don't get to see the Bucks every day, and I thought I was going to see Giannis, but doesn't look like that.
Did you come out in favor of social justice or against it?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's about social injustice.
I just wanted to make sure what side you were on.
Yeah,
you're not
I'm
trustworthy.
Definitely on the side of fixing social injustice for sure. But they had a lot of great discussions. The chief of police was here. Now, obviously, you know, the situation with Sterling Brown with the Bucks, that was a big topic. And then, you know, late Stephon Clark situation in Sacramento. That was a huge topic here as well. And I mean, Kings and the Bucks, man, I give them a lot of credit, man. They're doing a lot of things. The Kings actually have a youth basketball program for 5th through 10th graders in Sacramento. And I think there were like over 20 teen deaths in that neighborhood in which the players are participating, the youth players. And since that program started, there hasn't been any. It's bringing, like, kids together from different underprivileged neighborhoods and getting to know each other. So, you know, kudos to the Kings and the Bucks for doing big things.
That is very nice. I'm not going to wrap up with a warm and fuzzy, though. I just got to ask your reaction to Kevin Durant's appearance on the All the Smoke podcast, where he basically, it sounded like he was intimating, hey, had we just had a bigger, longer group hug, I might still be in town. Did you hear it, Mark? And what did you think about it if you did?
He was gone, man. We all knew he was gone. I could tell by his body language when he played. He gave me and a lot of other people coach speak about his situation, but you could tell he was gone. the situation with Draymond, like you guys know, like there's arguments with players every day. There's arguments in your office every day. I know Ray cursed out somebody there today.
I haven't been in today, but I'll curse you out.
Okay. It's happened. But you move on. I think if he really wanted to be there, I can't see the Draymond thing really holding him back. I'd love to sit down and talk to him. I hope we talk soon. I still think he's a phenomenal person and a phenomenal player. And I think he, at some point, will realize how much the Bay loved him back. You know, I think the only reason why people, it's like somebody calling a player saying they suck. They only say you suck because you're great. And the only reason why everybody, media and the local fans were on him all the time is because they wanted him to stay. I don't think the Bay Area gave him anything but love. Maybe he misconstrued it. But I think if he wanted to be here, I mean, I actually think he probably should have just taken the money. And then if he wanted to leave, certainly the Warriors could have made a trade around right now or last week, right, to get him to wherever he wanted to go.
Yeah, but that guy's got mobility if he wants it.
Steals and 24 points. You know, kudos to Bob Myers and the Warriors staff for actually getting an asset from all that, from that major, huge, mammoth departure. They're able to still get an asset to get another asset. And I think that's something that you'll probably see a lot of teams do, which the Thunder probably are kicking themselves for not doing after losing Kevin Durant for nothing.
Outstanding. Thank you, as always. Great to talk to you. Let us know when you're back in town. We look forward to seeing you again, pal.
I know me and you need to get a frosty beverage.
We're overdue.
Responsibly, and I'll be back next week.
There he is, the man, the myth, Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated, coming to you from Milwaukee.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.